following is a production of Snake Tree Media. This is Urgent Frequency, the Sonic sit rep for Urgent Fury, the hottest tactical gamer community on the World Wide Web. And now, here's your host, Commander Claymore Fury.
Hoo-yah, Frequency Freaks! I'm Commander Claymore Fury, and this is Urgent Frequency for the week of Sunday, February 6, 2011. This week, we travel to Redmond, Washington to infiltrate the offices of Zipper Interactive for a complete SOCOM sit rep, as we devote the entire episode to Urgent Fury's visit to Zipper HQ's SOCOM 4 U.S. Navy SEALs Media Day. We've got it all. Exclusive coverage of the official SOCOM 4 press conference, as well as special Urgent Frequency correspondent Brian Anadub Carey's in-depth, hands-on play-by-play of the day's events, including a portion of his exclusive interview with SOCOM 4 lead designer Travis Steiner. All that and Urgent Frequency comes home. The podcast that's never forgotten the words to the Star-Spangled Banner. This is Urgent Frequency.
Hey guys, it's Audrey Cleo from PlayStation Network's Core and FearNet.com. You are listening to Urgent Frequency on UrgentFury.com.
I am Commander Claymore Fury for UrgentFury.com. The brave men and women in our nation's armed forces made a commitment to protect us and our freedoms. Many will come home with missing limbs, severe burns, or traumatic brain injuries. The Wounded Warrior Project was created to help and support these injured heroes through programs and services that help make their recoveries that much easier. Regardless of your position on the war, our wounded veterans deserve our support. To learn more, call 1-877-TEAM-WWP. That's 1-877-832-6997. Or visit WoundedWarriorProject.org. Hoo-yah!
Spotted a sniper on the overpass! I got it! Cover me! Popping smoke! Go!
People often ask me why I do it.
Go, go, go!
I got movement by the truck! Got it!
Is it for glory? Is it to be a hero?
Advancing on the sniper nest!
Fire in the hole!
Truth is, it's none of those things.
Target neutralized! Plant charges!
Because I don't do it for myself.
Advancing toward the uplink tower!
Keep that formation tight!
I do it for country.
Target clear!
And the squad that has my back...
Missile site location uploaded. Move out!
Feels the exact same way.
We're pinned down over here!
Taking heavy fire!
Where'd they all come from?
That's what makes us a team.
Call in an airstrike, now!
That's what makes us soldiers.
Target is hard!
SOCOM 4, U.S. Navy SEALs. Available April 19th, 2011. Visit SOCOM.com for more information. I'm very distant because I won't lay down.
Distant gunfire in the early hours of Thursday, January 27th, has now turned into an all-out siege on PlayStation Home. I'm reporting live from the Central Plaza, which has been reduced to mere rubble in just a matter of days. With no ISA reinforcements in sight, it is up to the good people of PlayStation Home to stave off the dreaded Helgen forces. One member of this fine community said it best when he said, quote, "Whoa, this is awesome." End of quote. Amidst the destruction, there is but one message. Defend the Central Plaza from the Hellgust attack at any cost. Survivors earn a limited edition ISA uniform for their avatar and earn unlock points for Killzone 3. Plus, if you pre-order Killzone 3 from a PlayStation Home kiosk, you'll receive an exclusive jetpack for your home avatar, not available anywhere else, as well as the Unlock and Load Pack, instant access to 3 unlock points to use on the weapon or ability of your choice in Killzone 3 multiplayer, and the Retro Map Pack, featuring 2 of the most popular maps from Killzone 2. But be warned, the enemy is well-armed, resilient, and fueled by Vasari's martyrdom. Your success will require both a strong, sustained offensive and support from your unit. So be sure to log into PlayStation Home to play this exclusive game and take advantage of the special Killzone 3 pre-order offer. Killzone 3 invades PlayStation Home for a limited time only. Please hurry! This is Nigel Mortimix reporting live from the PlayStation Home Central Plaza. We now return to our regularly scheduled program.
Five, seven, two, one.
The numbers. What do the numbers mean? Fury, what do the numbers mean?
To help celebrate the launch of Urgent Fury in Country, Chapter 2 in the epic year-long End of Days Tournament event storyline, Brady Games presents the Urgent Fury in Country Numbers Giveaway. First, go to urgentfury.com/numbers and decipher the coded message. Then, follow the link and follow the instructions. It's that simple. In a world where everything we know is wrong, Brady Games and Urgent Fury get it right. It's the Urgent Fury and Country Numbers Giveaway, brought to you by Brady Games. Brady Games, take your game further.
One.
I'm straight up gangster, and I always keep one in the chamber in case you ponder.
Urgent. Frequency.
All the questions surrounding the next title in the SOCOM U.S. Navy SEALs franchise, Urgent Fury decided to do some forward recon and try to get some real answers regarding what some are saying is the most important release in the franchise's long history. After being invited to participate in Zipper Interactive SOCOM 4 U.S. Navy SEALs Media Day event in Redmond, Washington, we immediately deployed Urgent Frequency Special Correspondent Brian Inadub Carey, and he joins me with a full report. What's going on, sir? You're back from Redmond, Washington. How was the trip?
It was excellent. It was, believe it or not, pretty clear skies up there, which is unheard of up in the Northwest. And it was a real pleasure. I got to go and actually meet Shane in person for the first time and get a chance to step into SOCOM 4 firsthand before the majority. It was pretty amazing.
So you got to meet Shane, though. You didn't get in a car with him, right?
No, I actually took the advice of previous Urgent Fury representatives that had the misfortune of being in the car with him. And when I presented that to my cameraman and made sure that he was also aware not to get in a car, Shane actually overheard me talking about it. And he called me out on it, said it was BS, and said that just because he can get anywhere in LA in 20 minutes, that shouldn't be a bad thing. And I wasn't really sure how to take that. So,
it's like, well, I can tell you. I am a victim of Shane Bell's. I am. I'm a victim. I'm in therapy right now. Have you ever seen the film? And I don't mean the first one. I mean, the second one. Have you ever seen the Nicolas Cage film, Gone in 60 Seconds?
Absolutely.
That's kind of a taste of what it's like driving around. And he gets mad at other people for not being as dangerous as he is. So it's, I don't know. It's an adventure. So I'm really glad that, whatever the case, I'm glad you made it okay. And I was really jealous. I didn't get to go on this assignment, but you did. Man, first of all, I know we started the day kind of early. It was on a Wednesday, right? Was it a Wednesday?
It seems like forever ago. I literally, the time has crept by since I've actually got to touch SOCOM, and now I have to wait for it.
So. See, that's a tease. See, that's the way I was at E3. I got to play just that little piece of it, and it was a relatively short demo at E3. But yeah. So
let me tell you that what I got to experience was no short demo. I mean, I experienced the single player campaign with the Move controller in 3D on a ginormous, beautiful, high definition Sony TV.
See, I'm not sure, but I think you're rubbing it in right now. I think that I just now said that I didn't get to go, and you're like, oh, yeah?
Does it seem like I am? Because I'm not trying to.
The entire Urgent Fury community right now is going, I can't believe you. But, so tell us more. Now, what did you think of the Move? We've kind of talked about that a couple of times.
Well, you know, I'll be honest. In the setup, it seemed a little delayed, and I was concerned, and, you know, The guy actually kept telling me, you know, it's fine, but I kept feeling a delay when watching it when I set it up. But he assured me as soon as I went into the game, it'd be fine, which, of course, I was skeptical. If it's not going to work in the setup, why would it work in the game? About 5 to 10 minutes later, I actually overheard two of the developers talking over my shoulder, actually commenting on how well I was actually doing. And I don't know if it was just the fact that the game was tough or that it was the fact that I was doing well using the Move, you know, and they didn't know this, but I've got a fair amount of experience using it playing MAG and some other games. So, you know, I was familiar with the buttons and all that, and it worked great. I mean, it's definitely something that I will do from time to time. I can't see myself gaming full time with it.
See, that's exactly what I said. I was like, I don't know if it could take me away from the analog controller, but I can.
But hey, there's a new peripheral coming out that will be guided right towards Killzone 3 and SOCOM 4. I don't remember the name of it or the date that it comes out, but I know that it's going to change the way people use the Move controllers. I can tell you that.
I think that you're referring to the sharpshooter peripheral. I'm snapping my fingers like Dan Patrick right now. I'm trying to get my crack production staff to get me some info on this peripheral. Now, what was the 3D experience like? Because now I got to see a couple of games in 3D at E3, but I only got to play one, and that was MLB The Show. But the thing that impressed me about The Show in 3D was the depth. All of a sudden, everything really literally has depth, and you can, did it affect, you know, your aim and things like that, or did it feel pretty natural?
Absolutely. It actually, everything really did seem to get a little bit extra depth, even grass moving, flowing trees, explosions. True 3D, it's definitely a whole new way, you know. Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it.
Well, let's just talk about the entire experience. When you first got there, you had to be like a little giddy. I mean, you had to be nuts, because I know you guys, we can't really talk a whole lot about it right now, but you guys were there. Not only were we covering it for the podcast, but we're also covering it for something we can't really talk about right now. I'll give you guys a little teaser towards the end of this episode. But when you first got there, you just had to be, because I know you're like me. You're a hardcore SOCOM fan. When you first got there, you had to be a little starstruck, like, oh my gosh, I'm actually here where they actually make the game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was actually being made fun of by both my cameraman and Shane for just being an incredible fanboy, standing in front of the Zipper logo, making them take pictures of me, you know. And what made it a little worse is, you know, they always say that it's good to show up early and whatnot. Well, Shane directed us, and I believe we showed up maybe an hour and 15 minutes early. So we had to do a lot of waiting. And, you know, if one wants to talk about anticipation building up, boy, go sit in the lobby. Be at Zipper for an hour.
The thing that I loved about those guys at E3, and I've made a lot of, about this, but you talk about just being really good guys, that they're just so proud of their game. It's not like they're trying to sell a product or anything. I mean, of course they are, but you can tell by talking to them individually, person to person, each one of these guys feel invested in this game, and they know the pressure. And that's something, of course, that I've talked about and I mentioned at the top. You know, there's a lot of pressure. They realize that the world of shooter titles, the genre, has definitely become so competitive. But meeting the guys, weren't they just super genuine and super nice?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they made us feel right at home. You know, I probably actually made one of them feel a little uncomfortable, because I was one-on-one with them for 2 hours playing the game, asking constant questions. So I was definitely asking a lot of good questions, as what the community would refer to them as.
And, okay. Well, now you say good questions. What are some of the concerns? Like, when you look at the big picture and the broad spectrum that is, because, you know, one thing about the SOCOM fans, we're finicky.
Yes, absolutely. The community is very picky, but what the community has to remember is that, like everything else that lives and functions, it needs to evolve. And too many people keep referring back to SOCOM 2 and trying to relate it to the current status of the game. And personally, I think that some of those people need to either play SOCOM 2 or let it go, because, you know, that the game is evolving and it's a great game, and they're taking aspects that are successful in other games and in things that they feel would be good for SOCOM. Now, do we agree with all of them? Probably not at first. Now, once we jump into it and get a feel for it, are we going to love it? Does it have that SOCOM feel? Absolutely. In the opinion of this gamer, it absolutely does.
I do believe that they are under some pressure. I do believe that this is an important release for SOCOM. But what are some of the questions that you think the community are asking? Let's see if we can answer their questions right now. What would be one of the first things the community would ask about SOCOM 4?
I think a lot of the main questions have maybe kind of circulated as rumors and been answered in a lot of cases, like the push-to-talk feature, whether that's coming back or not. To answer that, and what they showed us, the push-to-talk was going to be available in the classic mode only, which is not necessarily where they seem to be gearing SOCOM 4. They definitely have this new streamline of play, with playlists, matchmaking systems, stuff like that, and it works pretty well. Another question that, you know, I often hear from people is, you know, is there going to be jump and climb? To answer that, there will be no jump and climb, not in the campaign or in the single player. There is vaulting. You can definitely take cover behind things and jump over things, but there is actually no jump to climb.
What about sprint, melee, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Sprints there. There's also a new feature, a look down scope mode, which is similar to other first person type shooter games.
It's iron sights, right? I mean, it's right down the weapon.
Yeah, it just pulls it right down. It's basically similar to pressing up on the D-pad previously, except for it seems to be a little more streamlined, but yeah, it does kind of have that different feel. That is one thing that was definitely kind of an out-of-body experience as far as the SOCOM experience goes for me. But nonetheless, it only took a second to, you know, feel right at home and get to killing. As far as knifing, yeah, melee is there. It's kind of the more of the SOCOM confrontation style knife, where you kind of swoop out, and slice with the knife rather than coming directly straight on and lunging at them. So it does take a little bit more of a skill rather than, as far as, you know, grenades, they've definitely refined the grenade process. There is no more arc. It is literally a point and click. So you aim your reticle where you want the grenade to land and press your grenade button, and the game calculates the distance and the arc for you and puts the grenade right where it needs to be. Now, this is a very handy and awesome feature, but I will assure you that it does take a few tosses to get used to.
I've actually seen a lot of complaints about that. And to me, I thought, finally, it's just a one button function. Unless they changed it since E3, the alpha build, though, was basically a one-button function grenade, and I didn't even really miss the arc. Did you miss the arc? Or
I didn't miss it at all, but like I said, it did take a second to kind of get used to, because I was used to trying to place the arc way out there and throwing the grenade, whereas now you just need to point at the dude's feet and push the button, which, again, it's a lot simpler, and I think the process has been refined. It did take a little bit of adjustment for me. The weapon wheel is also different. You know, I honestly did not spend a lot of time switching weapons, only because I would get my gun and I would go and I would try to shoot somebody. I wasn't often running out of ammo or anything like that, just because of the modes we were playing were a respawn base and was very fast. It is definitely different, though. It's kind of hard for words to explain it. You guys will see it soon enough.
In my review that I did after E3, the one thing, and everybody that I've talked to that's played it, they'll sit there and say, well, it's definitely different, but it still feels like SOCOM. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The game itself, the core itself, definitely felt like SOCOM. Now, looking around, looking at things, and if you really start, you know, evaluating each individual change that's been made, it definitely starts to, on paper, seem different than SOCOM. But you know, playing it, I mean, it definitely, I mean, no other third-person game feels like SOCOM. And when I sat down and played this game, it felt like SOCOM.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the cover system. For me, it took me a second to get used to it. Once I did, I really enjoyed it. To me, it was a really easy function. You can fire around objects, go to your iron sights and fire around objects. I thought it made me 1,000 times more accurate. So what about the cover system? How do you feel about that?
I enjoyed it. I thought it's great. I've always liked the cover system principles, but I've yet to find a game that streamlined it in a multiplayer game that actually worked. This time, I felt great with it. The only downside to the cover system is the fact that your cover can actually be blown up and removed. So if you take, you know, cover behind some sort of like a median or something, or a well-placed rocket could end your cover real quick. So that was the only downside. But at the same time, you know, you can't really look at that as a downside. I mean, destructible environments are always a plus. So just beware of what you take cover behind.
You guys were fortunate enough to attend the press conference. If you could, man, just take us through that process, just going into it, set it up for everybody, kind of describe what the environment was like. Talk about, you know, what the event was like.
Like I mentioned, that we had quite the wait in the Zipper lobby, and then once it was actually time to get pushed to the back, we were escorted by one of the secretaries there, who took us through, I believe, about 7 or 8 pass-coded rooms that required certain keys to get through.
No way! Were there like armed Navy SEALs standing at the doors? That's awesome.
Well, it depends on what you mean by that. There was actually life-size character art at almost every corner of the hallways that were actually the new character art from SOCOM 4. Which was pretty cool, coming around a corner and seeing a life-size character on the wall right there next to you. It was an absolute pleasure walking through the actual studio, seeing the dev team sitting there developing the game as we walked through it. In fact, Shane will probably remember my pace and my walk went from about a 10 to about a 3, and he actually had to yell at me and say, "Brian, come on, come on. You're not supposed to be looking at this." And, you know, of course, my jaw was on the floor dragging behind me, and then I was watching these guys literally talk about lighting, character size, movements. I mean, each kiosk I walked by had 2 guys sitting in it, you know, totally developing the game and perfecting it, playing it, looking things over, you know. And then after we got through all the rooms, we got through a really nice break room that led us through into a back to kind of an open hall. And in this open hall, there was an open bar, and there was also a catering company. I mean, they went all out for us. And, you know, there was a bunch of other news people there, which was a real pleasure to meet some of these, you know, other reporters. And then we moved in and actually got to shake the hands and talk to Brian Soderberg, who was the president of Zipper, and also to Travis Steiner, who is the lead game designer at Zipper. After getting a little bit of hands-on time with them, they directed us to sit down in front of a large screen. It was, in fact, the largest screen there. I'd be scared to even guess the size of it, but it's bigger than any TV I've ever seen personally.
It was SOCOM size.
It was, yes, it was definitely XL. They went through a nice presentation, and you know, they pretty much set us up for what was in store for our day and what was in store for SOCOM 4.
Now, we'll go ahead and break to the press conference right now. This is basically unedited, the first section, and I'll take us up to a single-player demonstration that you guys got from the dev team, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Excited to have you all here today to show you the latest with SOCOM 4, and specifically, we'll be showing you competitive multiplayer. This game's been in the works for a number of years, and we're really excited to finally get to show you what this is all about, and specifically to get hands-on with the multiplayer, to see it, to hear it, to actually play it, and let us know what you think about it. With that, I'm going to just get right into it and hand it off to Travis Steiner. He's our SOCOM 4 lead designer. He's going to give you a quick overview of the game, a very short demo of single player, and then we're going to get into hands-on with the multiplayer. So with that, Travis.
Just a quick note, guys, like no filming of the presentation, if you wouldn't mind. Still photos are okay, but no.
Welcome to the SOCOM 4 media event. We're very excited to show you the latest progress with the title. Well, a bit about the franchise here. You know, we're obviously very excited to be on the verge of releasing another SOCOM game. If you count SOCOM 4, Zipper has developed 7 SOCOM titles across 3 platforms. and that development span stretches nearly a decade. Counting the Zipper-developed SOCOM titles, the games have sold over 12 million copies worldwide, so obviously it's been a phenomenal success. We've really looked at SOCOM as setting the standard for online console shooters, and we're particularly interested in raising that bar yet again with SOCOM 4 when it releases exclusively for the PlayStation 3 on April 19th. So SOCOM 4, it's not just some small iteration in the series, but rather it's SOCOM redefined. This is a major evolution in the series that still stays true to the core values. While we've talked about in the past some of the neat things we're adding to the franchise, such as, you know, more cinematic story experience, we really need to still stay true to the fundamental aspects that make SOCOM what it is. And again, it's these SOCOM core values, starting with teamwork, authenticity, and innovation. Most of you haven't seen the game since our E3 and Gamescom demos, where we showcased the first level of the campaign, and you saw the Ops Commander and his squad desperately trying to escape a Southeast Asian city under attack from the forces of Naga. Today, we'd like to showcase another single-player mission, where you're going to see just the great progress we've made since then, in particular with the teamwork and authenticity core values. So with that in mind, one of our designers here, Ryan Fedgie, is going to play through the single-player demo for you. It's a mission called Onslaught. It takes place later in the campaign. We're about a little over halfway through. There's a new enemy faction to play here, a shadowy private military corporation. And you found out that they've just ambushed some other allied units in the area. The Ops Commander and his team have gotten a distress signal to quickly respond and come to their aid. So this is a very fast-paced, more action-oriented mission. A couple of highlights I want to point out that you're going to see before we crank up the volume and get those explosions going. First off is, again, those high-fidelity in-engine cinematics that we start right off the mission. Next is the AI squad behaviors. All the enemies in SOCOM 4 work together as a group. They utilize suppressing fire, flanking. Sometimes it even means you need to retreat. Now, we give the player new tools to combat this with as well. We have new quick contextual team commands. You'll see Ryan here use it. It's as simple and easy as just clicking the D-pad button. So this is something you can do in the middle of combat. You might want to reposition or adjust your forces as the enemy is utilizing one of these squad-based behaviors coming after you. The last thing you'll see a lot of in this particular level is destruction in the environment, specifically with cover. You know, we've really focused on having this cover mode in SOCOM 4, but we really wanted to make sure that those cover elements are also destructible. And I think this really brings the immersion to a new level. So, very excited to show that to you. Let's go ahead and launch in.
And there it is, the first section of the Zipper Interactive SOCOM 4 U.S. Navy SEALs official press conference. You guys, it's all access. We brought you inside the plush offices of Zipper Interactive in Redmond, Washington. With me, of course, is Brian Carey. He was there for the whole thing. He is our correspondent. So let's talk about the single-player campaign that you guys got to see that nobody else has got to see. What was that experience like?
You know, at first I was kind of wondering, you know, like, how much has this guy played? You know, he seemed to be on it. He knew exactly where these bots were coming from and the bad guys and everything. And so it was definitely, we got to see it executed in a perfected way. And the game handled awesome. I mean, the explosions, the cover, the talking, the characters, I mean, everything. He walked us through about what they said to be halfway through the level. After we got the demonstration, they pretty much told us what to expect in the co-op, but we're very limited on the information they gave us for that. But they wanted us to know that it was in fact coming and that it was a five-player co-op, and that it also involved the character Seven, who apparently we will find out the storyline, why her name is Seven and all those things and where she came from. As far as the rest of it, I mean, I think it's great. I mean, I'm really excited to have the campaign modes back. I mean, that was one of the huge staples for me, and I was absolutely offended when they threw out a game that did not have a campaign mode in it. So
let's go ahead and go to the next portion of the press conference. Then we're going to talk about, you actually got to get an exclusive interview with lead designer Travis Steiner. I got to hang out with him a little bit at E3, so it's kind of cool that you actually got to follow up with him, and we got to hold him to his promises. You also got to hang out with Kevin Schmidt. Now, I don't know if you shook hands with Kevin Schmidt, but did he not have... I don't want to say he's elfin by any means, but because I'm like 6'5", I'm a giant, but this guy is like... He's got the smallest hands, but he's a sweet guy. Sweet guy, knows everything about the game. He's the one that actually turned me on to the...
His actual title is Senior Systems Designer.
Ooh, that sounds important.
that's what his card says, so...
Super nice guy, so we should say that real quick. Got to thank Jeremy Dunham and Chris Roper. The community managers over at SOCOM.com, and they are just basically the guys that put this whole event together. Well, they had a lot to do with Urgent Fury being there, and we really appreciate their coordination and all of their help and stuff. Let's go ahead and get back to the press conference, and when we come back, we'll talk about the Travis Steiner.
We're all that's left. We're banged up a little, but we can move. Let's get the hell out of here.
So that's actually just a portion of the level. You'll be able to play the entire level a little bit later on here at our single-player kiosks. But I think the exciting thing here is that we're showcasing a wide variety of environments in SOCOM 4. Before, we showed more of an urban environment, and now this is much more rural-focused, along with a new faction of enemies. So quite a bit of progress. We're excited for you to try it out and even try out. As you can see here, we actually have an enemy boss battle with the enemy helicopter at the end of the level. So very excited to have you guys try it out. But on to the real reason we're here today, to talk about SOCOM 4 multiplayer. SOCOM 4 features both 5-player cooperative as well as 32-player competitive multiplayer. Today we're primarily focusing on the competitive multiplayer. Going back to those core values of SOCOM, I want to talk about how we're applying that to SOCOM 4 multiplayer. First off, with team-focused gameplay. SOCOM is the most team-focused online shooter out there. In many ways, people look at it like a team sport where there's several positions and everyone's fulfilling a role. Only in this case, the weapons, the gear you bring into battle dictate that role. All the objectives in both competitive and co-op are really tailored around that team-based play, that collaboration. Needing someone to watch your back while you go for the mission objective is really key to this mode of online play. And all that boils down to something we call memorable moments. And I think this is really the key element of SOCOM multiplayer. Running around by yourself and just shooting guys out in the open can be fun, but it's that team collaboration, working with friends, that ad hoc strategy that really creates those adrenaline-filled moments that you'll be talking about days on later. In particular, you know, we talk about a close call, a sacrifice, maybe the execution of the perfect tactic coming together. SOCOM 4 really lets you create your own war stories that you can share with others, you know, for days to come, months. We're, you know, a lot of the guys here are still talking about some of the best battles that we've ever had together. And I think that team play is really what makes it possible. I think this team-focused gameplay is really evident in one of the new modes you're going to have a chance to play today, called Last Defense. In this particular game mode, each team is fighting to take control of some key control points in the middle of the map, marked as A, B, and C. These are actually represented visually in the level as small satellite dishes, little portable satellite dishes. If a team is able to capture all three of those points, it will triangulate the location of the enemy base and give your team a chance, 2-minute timed chance, to plant an airstrike beacon on the enemy base and destroy it. This is really great because for the attacking team, they're really going to collaborate, group together, and try and get a good strategy to go in and plant that beacon. As a defending team, you're going to hear guys yelling over the radio, you know, fall back, fall back. And you have this desperate last stand at the objective point to try and hold them back for that 2-minute window. If the defending team is able to hold them back, then the control points in the middle of the map will reset and both teams will try and attack those again. So, again, very focused on the team elements. Next, again, we have authenticity. I think SOCOM has always been known as being one of the more authentic console shooters out there, and we're definitely continuing that with SOCOM 4. Starting with the fact that we reward tactical play. You know, guys that go sprint out in the open just willy-nilly are going to get gunned down pretty quick. In SOCOM, we really encourage you to leverage the environment, just like a real soldier would, through our cover system, using vegetation, and hiding in the shadows, trying to get that competitive edge, just again, like a real soldier would. Now, Soldiers in real life are adaptive. The situation can change. We have environmental destruction, which means that cover you took just the cover you took may not be there in a few minutes if, say, an enemy RPG or grenade comes in. So you need to be able to adapt if that cover gets destroyed. It also brings the immersive qualities in the game up a notch. And lastly, great attention to detail has always been key to SOCOM. This is particularly true when talking about weapons and the weapon modeling, making sure they look realistic, but also making sure the environments look as realistic as possible. And lastly, innovation. Zipper has always been on the cutting edge of new technology, particularly when you talk about the SOCOM franchise and MAG. Most of you probably already know that SOCOM 4 is supporting PlayStation Move and the new sharpshooter gun peripheral. Ever since we got our hands on PlayStation Move, we were very excited here at Zipper because we think SOCOM is a great example for how a serious shooter can work with motion controls. But ever since we got people to try it out for the first time, people really loved it, but they were all asking, when can I use Hold It Like a Gun? And so we took that feedback and we actually worked hand-in-hand with Guerrilla Games to co-develop this sharpshooter gun peripheral. And it's designed specifically with games like SOCOM and Killzone in mind. In fact, right when we were in the middle of the drawing board, we were actually, you know, designing things like making sure it has a reload button, a fire mode selector switch, all the things that we know SOCOM players would really appreciate. SOCOM 4 also features next generation implementation of 3D. This means that our 3D is displayed at full resolution at full performance. So when you combine 3D along with the PlayStation Move and the sharpshooter, you are getting as close to the combat as possible in any sort of game. SOCOM 4 gets you there. And lastly, we're doing a lot with replayability in multiplayer, and specifically, as you see here, user-suggested custom playlists. What this is in SOCOM 4, we have a lot of custom options players can switch and define when hosting their own private unranked games. We can then take feedback from the community and host up our own ranked matches that players can compete for the top scores with based on the feedback we got from the community about what kind of custom options they want. Things like maybe playing shotguns only, faster movement speeds, additional damage, and no respawn, just as an example. And that's a way we can really keep the online play fresh and keep people coming back and really engage the community. So to summarize competitive multiplayer, well, again, it's 32-player infantry-based combat. We did that to ensure that it's more tailored towards special forces-scaled engagements, and that's really key to SOCOM. We have 14-focused game modes, including suppression, which has always been in SOCOM. It's basically the SOCOM version of Team Deathmatch. We have uplink, where each team, they take turns of trying to infiltrate the enemy base, obtain valuable data, and retrieve it back to their own base. Almost like a SOCOM version of Capture the Flag. I walked you through Last Defense. We have one more game mode that's still classified. You'll have to wait to a later date for more details on that. SOCOM 4 features 9 all-new maps designed from the ground up specifically for SOCOM 4 multiplayer. Plus, we have one additional classic map, Abandoned, that's available if you pre-order the game from GameStop. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and launch the SOCOM 4 multiplayer trailer.
Okay, and there you go. That's the wrap-up, of course. Then they launched the multiplayer trailer. Of course, later on, man, you got to hang out with Travis Steiner, and we're going to play just a little bit of this interview because I want people to hear a little piece of it. But I'll tell you more about that after the interview. So here it is, without delay. Let's just go ahead and do this. It's Brian Carey's exclusive interview, or a portion of Brian Carey's exclusive interview with lead designer of SOCOM 4, Travis Steiner.
I'm standing here with Travis Steiner, lead game designer at Zipper Interactive, talking today about SOCOM 4, the upcoming title that's expected to launch April 19th. And basically today we're getting a hands-on opportunity and get to talk to Travis himself and ask him questions about all sorts of stuff. Cool. Thanks for having us today, Travis.
Hey, absolutely.
Basically, got some questions. We hear there's maybe going to be some cooperative game modes. Is that something that you can...
I can talk generally to it. We have announced that we will have 5-player co-op.
Okay.
And I can't go into specifics about what that means or the modes involved with that, but I can only say that the team here at Zipper has had a blast playing co-op. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
So we can't wait to share more on that.
Absolutely. The community, I'm sure, looks forward to that as well.
And I think... If I could, I think that a lot of the effort we put into single player, particularly with AI and the squad tactics of AI, really comes across great in co-op, because you know, have these great instances where the enemy's flanking you, maybe forcing you to fall back. It's very intense, and I think players are going
to
love it.
Excellent, excellent. I extremely look forward to that. Multiplayer. What can you tell us about multiplayer?
Well, man, SOCOM 4 is really an evolution in the franchise, and we have nearly all new game modes. So we still have suppression, but we also have three completely new team-focused game modes. And you had a chance to play one of them today, Last Defense, which is a lot of fun. It's basically each team is fighting to take control of these control points in the center of the map that are marked as A, B, and C, and each one is represented by some sort of a small satellite dish. If a team can capture all of those, it then triangulates the location of the enemy base, and it goes into what we call the last defense phase, where you as the attackers have 2 minutes to get in there and plant an airstrike beacon on the enemy base and destroy it. If you do that, you win. It's a defending team. Everyone's yelling over the headset, you know, retreat, fall back, and it's in this desperate last-minute stand against the odds, trying to hold that position until time expires. And if you do that, the round will then reset the control points back to the middle, and each team is fighting over those again. So we love that for the team-based play that we get out of that. In addition to Last Defense, we also have Uplink, kind of a SOCOM take on Capture the Flag. You have one team defending these key data stations, and the other team is trying to get in there, obtain the data, download it, and then get back to their base to upload it. So again, big emphasis on teamwork. We have another mode, which we can't talk about today. It's still classified, but you'll be hearing more on that later. And again, it's more along the same lines of just really emphasizing the concept of teamwork.
Well, there's also rumors floating around that there's going to be a beta popping up soon, too. Can you tell us anything about that?
Well, yeah. If you pre-order Killzone 3, you will have a chance to play in the SOCOM 4 beta. And we haven't released any official date on when that takes place, but we're definitely looking forward to getting the game in players' hands and getting
Absolutely.
Feedback.
Now, as far as the availability, will that be limited on the beta to only people who purchase Killzone 3, or will there be other ways of obtaining that as
there
well?
There will be other ways to get into the beta. The specifics of that haven't been released yet, but yes, that's not the only way to get into the SOCOM 4 beta.
If you want to see the complete interview between Brian Carey and Travis Steiner, you can see it on PlayStation Home shortly. And that's all I can really say about that. But anyway, man, great job. Final thoughts. I know you got to go, but give me your final thoughts on SOCOM 4 and we'll wrap this thing up.
The best way that I can explain it and the way that I've been telling all my clan members and everything is just be ready for an awesome game that isn't what we're used to having. It's going to be different. It's going to play a little different. It's going to feel a little different. It's going to look a little different. But I guarantee you it's going to be worth your money and it's going to be worth the time. And even better than that, we know that Urgent Fury will be able to utilize this and go back to our roots, and hopefully, we'll see the explosive amount of people that we used to back in the day.
And that's certainly what I'm anticipating. And again, I want to be clear, and I want to thank everybody at Zipper Interactive, everybody at Sony, everybody at SOCOM.com. Like I said, Jeremy Dunham, Chris Roper, Jill at Sony, the entire gang that made this possible. It was a really big deal for us. And to you, sir, good job. Thank you very much for your coverage.
Absolutely. Thanks for allowing me the opportunity to go up there and for having me today. And I'd also like to give a shout out to Blaine Higdon, who is not a lead game designer, but he's one of the main guys that helped design MAG and SOCOM 4. And hey, Blaine, if you're listening, man, thanks for being patient and listening to all my questions, man. I know I drilled you to the wall, but you answered a lot of questions, and you were a good guy about it. So thank you for your time.
Okay, special correspondent Brian Carey, thank you very much. And I think that just about wraps up this episode. Again, we want to thank everybody at Zipper Interactive for their hospitality, for the invitation to come up and be a part of Zipper Interactive's SOCOM 4 U.S. Navy SEALs Media Day. We hope you guys have enjoyed just a glimpse of what it was like to be there at the unveiling of SOCOM 4, probably the most anticipated game around Urgent Fury these days. But thank you to everybody at Zipper Interactive. That includes Jeremy Dunham, Chris Roper, Tom Regis, Justin Englert, Kevin Schmidt, the man Travis Steiner. I know I'm forgetting somebody, but thank you to everybody at Zipper Interactive. And of course, thank you to Jill at Sony. She makes it work, man. I'm telling you, she's the heart of that whole company. And I told you I was going to tell you a little bit more about PlayStation Home, so I should do that. I can't say a lot. I'm telling you right now, I can't say a whole lot. All I can say is I'm very proud and very honored to announce that Urgent Frequency Television is coming soon to PlayStation Home. I will tell you more about that next episode. I promise, cross my heart and all that good stuff. Don't forget, I want you to be part of this podcast, so you can send your questions, comments, and suggestions to me, Commander Fury, at CommanderFury@UrgentFury.com. Network with us via Twitter, on the official Urgent Fury blog, Urgent Fury Unleashed, on Facebook, and of course on our brand new YouTube channel at youtube.com/YouFreakTV. This episode of Urgent Frequency was produced by Urgent Fury Holdings LLC, Allison Armstrong in the studio, and Brian Carey, with a special thanks to Cade Peterson for all of his guidance and support. All right, it's time for me to go, gang. You know the drill. Keep your feet wet and your powder dry. Hoo-yah!
SOCOM 4's lead developer, Travis Steiner, something, 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 and...